day is on the death of Moses and the choosing of Joshua as the leader in his place. Last week we were speaking to you about how that the children of Israel committed whoredom, and how that Phinehas, he took a dagger, and he, in zeal for God and for his truth, went and stabbed this man and woman in the tent to death. And how that when he done this, that God in mercy stopped the plague which was amongst the Israelites, where 24,000 of them had already died of this plague. And God rewarded this man, Phinehas, for the act that he did by giving unto him that promise that of his seed there would be a perpetual priesthood. And we find now that Moses, he had gathered all the people together, and he had been speaking unto them a long time. He had been blessing the tribes individually and telling them what would come to pass with them. And now it's time for Moses, that Moses is to depart from this world. God had said that he would die and that he would have to go up on the mountain. And after he was up on the mountain, then he would die. God would not let him enter into the land of Canaan because he had spoken so against God when he brought the water forth out of the rock. He had rebelled and not did what God had told him to do. Therefore, the punishment was that he was not to enter into the land of Canaan. We find Moses then in this last chapter, he's ready to go up to the mount called Nebo on the top of Pisgah. God had commanded him to go up on this mount. This mount was the highest mountain of a range of mountains called Abiram. It is said by the commentary that upon this very mountain likewise the devil took Christ and showed him all the kingdoms of this world. This was a very high emis, and therefore God commanded him to go up on this mountain. And when he was on the top of this mountain, we find that God showed him all the land of Canaan. This land was 160 miles long. It was in the neighborhood of about 70 miles wide. He was on the top of this mountain, and God showed him all the land of Canaan from one end to the other. It is said by the commentary, it's impossible for a man to see this with his naked eye. So God must have gave him supernatural eyesight to see and to view this wonderful land, the land of promise, that he had promised unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. How wonderful this was for Moses. Although he was not permitted to enter into it, he was given such a glorious sight of it before he died. Thinking on this, I thought how often it is the case in the course of the lifetimes of God's children, when they come near to the end of their journey, it pleases God sometimes to fulfill his precious promise given unto them in their lifetime. Thou shalt see the king in his beauty, and behold the land which is afar off. Oh, how wonderful it is when God opens the eyes of faith of one of his dear children and gives them to look into that promised land, that land to which they are journeying, that land with which Jesus said unto the thief upon the cross, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, it's a wonderful place where God's people are traveling to. It's a place of whose foundation and maker and builder God is. It's a place of eternal rest, of eternal peace, of eternal joy. Oh, it's a place where they will be delivered from all evil, bodily and physically and mentally. And they will never sin anymore in this glorious place to which they are traveling. And when God gives them such a sight of this place at times, then truly they would like to lay down this clay tabernacle. They would like to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, what a glorious thing it is if in this life God gives us such a view of this place, how it sets us longing to be there. Have any of my hearers ever had such a view of this glorious land, Emmanuel's land? Have you ever been given to see what it would be if you were given to enter into it? Oh, I am sure then you wished you had the wings of a dove, that you would fly away and be at rest. Oh, what a glorious place then was Moses going to. Although he was not permitted to enter into the earthly Canaan, he sure did enter into this heavenly Canaan. According to the word of God, he died by the mouth of the Lord. He went up this mountain. He was 120 years of age. His natural force was not abated. His eye was not dim. He was in the same strength as when God called him 40 years before to lead these people, the Israelites, through the wilderness to the land of Canaan. He then did not die of any sickness or any weakness, but he died by the mouth of the Lord. The Jews say he died when God kissed him. He was kissed then to death. Oh, what a wonderful death this man must have had. Oh, my hearers, if any of you have ever experienced something of the love of God in your hearts, and if God should let out his love in an extraordinary measure into your hearts and souls, then you would not be able to stand. You would succumb. It's too much for the body, too much for the physical part of us. And I think this is what happened to Moses. He was given to die in this way. He was loved to death. Oh, this man Moses, he had enjoyed so much of the presence of God here upon earth. Every time I've read about him, I became so jealous of him. Oh, he was given such communion and such fellowship with this Lord that, my, it's worthy to be jealous of. And now, my hearers, he was going to be with him forever and ever. He died then on the top of this mountain, and God buried him by the ministry of angels. He buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, somewhere near Beth Peor, it says in the Bible. And no one knows where this sepulcher is even to this day. Oh, what a blessed way to die, my hearers. We are again confronted with that awful subject, death. It does not make how long a person may live. We have Moses, 120 years of age, and he had to die. He died on the top of this mountain, just as his brother Aaron was told to go up on the top of the mountain and die also, and he was gathered to his people. My hearers, there's a time coming for you and I likewise that we must die. You ever stop to consider that? We continually put this day, this hour far from us. It's a solemn subject. We do not wish to dwell upon it or think upon it. Why? We were not created to die. We were created to live. And still death has entered into this world. Sin is the consequence of death. And now, my hearers, death is coming to you and I. We know not how soon. People die in various ways. But, oh, I was thinking what a wonderful way it is to die if God gives us to die this way. You know, Balaam, he had wished that he would die the death of the righteous. And I do wish that I would die this way at the mouth of the Lord. Wouldn't you want to die this way? Why, that's not death, my hearers. That's just being transported from being with God and being eternally with him. Oh, blessed death. How many of my hearers? Oh, when they come to die, I am afraid that they will die with terror. They will die with anguish. They will die with their conscience open, speaking unto them of what they have done and how they have lived in this life. And all when God opens a man or a woman's conscience, my hearers, it's an awful thing. Has God ever opened your conscience in this life? Have you ever been given to be confronted with your past life and what you have done, how you have acted? Oh, you can't find any rest when God opens your conscience. A lot of people, they take their lives. They commit suicide when God does this. What a mercy it is if God opens it and he leads us to seek this precious Jesus, to seek salvation in him. Oh, he only can quiet this conscience which you and I have and which is so alive when the Spirit of God enters into it. Oh, I pray that none of my hearers may die in this way. Oh, that we all would die like Moses. But I'm afraid it will not be so, my hearers. Or may you seek an interest in this God whom Moses loved, whom Moses talked with, whom Moses feared, and whom Moses went to when he died. And my hearers, we find that when Moses was dead, then God spake unto Joshua, and he commanded him and said unto him that he was to carry the people of Israel into the land of Canaan. He was chosen by God and put in the place of Moses. Now this man, Joshua, he was filled with wisdom, with a spirit of wisdom and of understanding. And Moses had laid his hands upon him and had anointed him to this office. And the people likewise had accepted him. Three things, my hearers, very necessary for anybody that's going to be a leader of a flock of people, especially as Joshua was over the children of Israel. He was gifted with the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And by wisdom, my hearers, we are not to mean and to think that it means knowledge. For a person may have a lot of knowledge. A person goes to college and gets a lot of knowledge. He may grow in knowledge. He may learn a lot about science, and he may attain a lot of knowledge about literature, but he may not have wisdom. Another thing, a man may be prudent and still lack this wisdom. A prudent man is a careful man. He's cautious. He's very upright in his dealings with other creatures. And he may attain even a great applause of people for being that way and still lack wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom, my hearers, it's the fear of God. Wisdom is the love of God. Wisdom is having our heart set upon God and our heart in the right way before God. Now this Joshua was gifted with. He had this wisdom that he feared God, that he loved God, and that his heart was right in the sight of God. Oh, what a blessing. He likewise, my hearers, was anointed by Moses. Moses laid his hands upon him. Now this was a sign and a token unto the children of Israel that God had chosen this man. Moses did not select one of his own family, but he gave unto this man, Joshua, this glorious position of being the leader of the children of Israel. And we find likewise that the people accepted this man. Now that's another point. If a person is going to be a leader, it's a blessing if he has the people accepting him, praying for him, having faith in him, and relying upon him in doing what is right in the sight of God. And now we find that Moses, he is spoken of again by God himself, who wrote this. The commentary says they think that Ezra wrote this little piece in this book. And he writes that there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom God knew and spake face to face with. Now this is the account that they give of this glorious man, Moses. And Moses then was an eminent prophet. There was no prophet like him after him. Moses, he resembled Christ in many ways, my hearers. When Moses was born, they sought his life. Pharaoh had to have all the children put to death, but God spared Moses' life. When Christ was born, Herod sought the life of Christ. Now this man, Moses, he is an eminent type of Christ in this way, where Christ is the great prophet and where he shines out more brilliantly than Moses. Still, Moses was a glorious prophet too. And Moses, likewise, he was the deliverer of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He was their natural deliverer, but Christ is the spiritual deliverer of all the children that God has given unto him out of this worldly Egypt in which each and every one of us are. And Moses, he confirmed his doctrine with many miracles. Down in the land of Egypt, he performed many miracles before the Egyptians and before Pharaoh and his house. Likewise, Jesus Christ, he performed many miracles to testify that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. He did things that no other prophet ever did, not even Moses. And Moses was faithful in all his house. He was faithful to the calling that God had placed him in. And he was a sincere and an honest and an upright man in all his dealings with the Israelites. And likewise, Jesus Christ, he was faithful unto his heavenly Father who had sent him into this world. And now Moses, he likewise was very intimate with God. He was very close to God. He spake with God and God spake to him. Oh, this life that Moses had here below is well to be jealous of. But Christ Jesus, likewise, who lay in the bosom of his heavenly Father from all eternity, was very intimate with his Father. He was in very close communion with him even when he was here upon earth. In this, my hearers, I'm bringing you the resemblance of Moses with Christ. I don't think there's another prophet that can compare as Moses does with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man that was brilliant in this respect. And in every way did he show that the Spirit of Christ dwelt in him very richly. And now after Moses has died, we find that God speaks unto this man Joshua. And he says, Moses, my servant is dead. We are coming now into the book of Joshua, into the first chapter. This book of Joshua, it probably was written by Joshua. Some think no, others think probably Phinehas wrote this book. It comprises a history of about 20 years of the Israelites. In this book we have the dividing of the land by Joshua unto the several tribes. And likewise we have also the death and burial of Joshua at the end of this book. And now here God speaks unto Joshua and commands him that he should go over the river Jordan into the land of Canaan, because he had promised this land unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and unto their seed. And God is speaking unto this man. How wonderful it is, my hearers, that this man Joshua immediately was brought into communion and fellowship with God. And that God came to him where he was placed at the head of this people. He truly needed God to be with him. And now God speaks unto him and says that he should go over the river Jordan with these people. Now this was a test of faith for Joshua. Now the river Jordan overflowed its banks at this particular time of the year. And how were they to get across? He was then to depend and to rely upon God, who had said that he should take the people over the river Jordan. And God spoke unto him and said that he would give this land unto the Israelites. Here God is faithful to his word, to his promises which he had made unto Abraham and also to the Israelites. He was going to give them this land. And now he spake again unto Joshua and told him that he should be strong and that he should be very courageous. And that as he was with Moses, he would be with him. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Wonderful words, my hearers. Oh, what words for a person who was to lead the children of Israel. Be strong, be very courageous. And he said unto him, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Oh, how necessary for Joshua that God came to him with these words. Some think because Joshua knew what sort of people the Israelites were, how discontented they were, how rebellious they were, it was necessary for God to speak unto Joshua and tell him to be strong, to be courageous, to face these people and to stand up in the fear and in the name of God. But I think, my hearers, that this man Joshua, he felt as so many of God's servants felt. He felt himself insufficient. He felt he was no man like Moses. He had not the spirit as Moses had. He had not the wisdom that Moses had. and he felt unqualified, I think, and he was filled with fear likewise. And therefore God came to him and said unto him, be strong, be very courageous. And he comforts him with these words, as I was with Moses. He knew all about how God had been with Moses. He had been Moses' minister. He had been up on the mount with Moses 40 days and 40 nights, this man, Joshua. He knew very well what it was to be near unto God. And he knew what Moses had experienced, how Moses' face had shined because he had been so close to God. And now God promises this man, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor will I forsake thee. Oh, my hearers, I do wish that God would speak these words to you and to I. Oh, as he was with Moses, as he shined down upon him, as he talked with him, as he communed with him. Oh, what a mercy it is to have this God with us in this life. Wouldn't you want that, my hearers? Have you ever experienced anything in the presence of God in your life? Has he ever been round about you? Have you ever felt that he was close to you, that he was listening to you, and that he loved you? Oh, you wish that you had that all the time. But when it's taken away, and then you begin to fear, then you begin to tremble, then you begin to think that God has forsaken you. And especially when sin becomes so strong and so powerful again, and you pray and you cry to God to keep you from your sins, and you find that he doesn't keep you, that you fall headlong into it sometimes in weakness. Not that you wanted to, but you couldn't help yourself, and there you lay. And then you begin to think, well, if God was with me, I wouldn't do these things. Or he sure would have heard me, he sure would have delivered me. But my hearers, God teaches us our weakness, our helplessness, our sinfulness. God brings us away from ourselves and leads us that we may experience what it is when he is near. Or when he says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, what a blessing it is. We feel left. We feel forsaken. We feel as if he'll never have anything to do with us because of our iniquities. But God is faithful, my hearers. Oh, what a mercy if he says this to us, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Don't you think sometimes God has forsaken you? It's not unscriptural. We read in the book that the church says, the Lord hath forsaken me, the Lord hath forgotten me, was the cry of the church at one time. And it's the cry of individuals in the church, even probably at this time. Oh, many of God's dear children feel they're forsaken, they're left. Oh, true, it isn't a very pleasant feeling to have that. But oh, when he does come again, oh, what a wonder that is. What a mercy that is. Then we find that we have to do with a faithful God who keeps his word, although we are unfaithful. And now this man, Joshua, he was told by God that he was to bring these children of Israel into the land of Canaan, and that he was to divide the land unto the tribes, and that he would give them this land, and that he was to be strong. Again, he says unto him, be strong, be courageous. And every man that will stand up against thee, he will not be able to stand, for I will be with thee. I, the Lord thy God, will be with thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, I love these words, especially that little word, thy. Oh, I think that was such a comfort to Joshua. I, the Lord thy God. God told him he was his God. Wouldn't you want God to tell you that? Wouldn't you want him to come and whisper in your ear and say, I am the Lord thy God? Oh, wouldn't that put all doubt and all fear and all unbelief out of your minds? Oh, what a mercy to have God speak that to us. I am the Lord thy God. Oh, Joshua was blessed then by God in hearing these wonderful words spoken unto him. And he was encouraged in this way. He was given strength, and he was given to believe that God would be with him. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers. If any of you are ever called in your lifetime to serve in the office of a church, regardless it be deacon, elder, or what it may be, what a mercy if God comes to you. If God has made choice of you, if God says to you, I will be with you, I will not fail you, I will not forsake you. You know you have something to go back on. You never have nothing to go back on, and you went yourself. You are a poor leader. And you may be a poor leader, but you may have God with you, and that's more important. What a blessing if you have something from God. You know you need that, my hearers. If God uses you in his house of worship, if you have nothing to come to God with, you only have yourself, oh, what a poor position you are in. You know, I pity so many leaders, so many ministers in our times, who I fear they have nothing of God. They've run themselves. They've been, from a youth up, born and brought up in the church. Their parents put them in a college and they become a minister. You got hundreds and thousands of them today in this land. And they never had a word of God. They never have anything to fall back on. Oh, what a mercy if in this life we have this God as our refuge, as our strength, as he who has given us a word. Just as I read this morning, we can bring it before him and say, whose is this? Did you not say it? Did you not promise me? Oh, what a mercy it is, my hearers. And this Joshua had. Oh, he was called to a great work. And this man, Joshua, he likewise was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, he was not permitted to let the children of Israel enter into the land of Canaan. And Moses, he is the type of the law. But now this Joshua, he's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in this respect, that he was to bring these people into the land of Canaan. The law, my hearers, only revealed